Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your computer stays locked onto our website, kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the unique personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, a special place. The COVID crisis has changed much in our country and indeed in our county as well. Our radio station is a whole new world. With an abundance of caution, most of us cannot even use our studio equipment to record our shows. Individual DJs can creep into the studio and do their shows in solitary confinement. But those of us who have real live guests on their show are not able to invite them to the studio. Needless to say, that changes things. We do have a technological workaround where we create and record the shows without even visiting KPTZ's world headquarters in a sweet little trailer in the parking lot of the Mountain View School. Admittedly, our studio audio quality is not up to our usual standards, but the show must go on. So bear with us if the sound isn't quite what we usually deliver. Consider the content. The purpose of Our Town is to share the stories of some of the fascinating people who make up this community. But the show's only a half hour long, definitely not long enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. So it's a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the northwestern edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers, and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. The past few months have brought some remarkable changes to our lives. Now more than ever, don't you wonder who the people are that you see around? Who was that couple riding a tandem recumbent bike? What about the people loitering outside Better Living through coffee? Who are they? Can we even recognize our neighbors and friends through their masks? Today, my guest is Lance Bailey, who is the director of, help me, what's your exact title?
Development Services Director for the city.
Okay. Now, I usually start by asking people if they were born and bred in Jefferson County, but you have this nice little soft Southern accent, so I've got a feeling you weren't born here. Where did you grow up?
That's correct. I was born in North Carolina, and I grew up there through college, and I moved out to the Pacific Northwest in 1990 to go to graduate school at the University of Oregon. And I liked it out here so much that I've never gone back.
Okay. Well, before we go on with your career, I'm just curious. I always like to ask people about their high school years because it can be such a formative time. What was your high school experience like?
I had somewhat of a unique experience in that I went to a boarding school in Pennsylvania called the Hill School. So it was a very good academic experience. I had some of the best professors that I've ever had while I was attending school there.
So how old were you when you started?
Ninth grade through 12th, so 15, 16.
Okay. Was it always in your mind that you were going to go to college? And how did you pick what college you went to?
Well, my mom was a school teacher. So I think that from day one, college was the intended path. I have an older brother and older sister, and we all did attend college. I did my undergraduate work at the University of North Carolina, which both my mom and my dad attended. It wasn't really that hard of a decision. Go Tar Heels.
Following in the family footsteps, I guess.
Yes.
And what did you major in?
I majored in economics. In graduate school at University of Oregon, I majored in urban and regional planning.
Now, that's a fairly unique specialty. What led you to that as a young man?
I just had gotten interested in some planning issues that were going on in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And this is an entire profession, and that prompted me to use my economics background, which was really a good foundation, to go to graduate school and ultimately led me out to the West Coast.
Well, your graduate school experience, was it all in classroom or did you do any field work?
The most interesting field work is I did a 3-month internship in Micronesia looking at some historic preservation issues there related to preservation of oral histories.
That sounds fascinating. And when you got that degree, what did you do next?
Well, after that, I somewhat spurred on by my experience in Micronesia, I joined the Peace Corps and spent 3 years down in South America. I was in southern Chile working for regional government, doing land use planning for a small community.
Did you already have the language skills to do that, or did you have to do a crash course?
It was a crash course, for sure.
Well, obviously you mastered it if you managed to stick it out for 3 years.
I'm not sure that I would say I mastered it. I imagine that I sat in meetings and situations with people who were patient enough to overlook my grade school Spanish level, but hopefully there was at least some information being provided through that process. It was quite a challenge. As they say in the Peace Corps, it's the toughest job you'll ever love. I think that's a pretty apt description.
Well, a lot of people, you know, sort of re-up in the Peace Corps and, you know, go from assignment to assignment. But were you just ready to move on after Chile?
I was kind of ready to come back and really dive into the career of land use planning in the States. I knew that I wanted to come back to the Pacific Northwest, so I was ready to come back.
What did you end up doing, first job?
I initially was working down in Southern Oregon for a council of governments. I ultimately moved up to Portland, lived in Portland for about 10 years and was working partly city government and then worked some in the private sector as well. I really was interested in working in smaller communities, moved out to Eastern Oregon to Wallowa County, which is where Joseph and Enterprise Oregon are located. Follow the path back into city planning to Ellensburg, Washington. And that was what I was doing prior to coming to Port Townsend.
So how did you pick Port Townsend?
I always had an interest in this community. I initially stumbled into Port Townsend as a participant in the Kayak Symposium. That was a long-standing event here. But that's how I was originally introduced to the community. And it's just really a fascinating place in terms of its physical context. It's a very progressive community. I like the combination of the historic downtown, just with a small community located in a very unique, I think, cultural and physical location.
Okay. Now, the title Director of Development Services is one that most of us don't really know what that means. What can you give us sort of the scope of what you do?
Yeah, so the department, Development Services Department within the city, primary responsibilities are, when we're broken into two divisions, one is building, the other is planning. The building division, as the name implies, deals with building issues. So the review, issuance, and inspection of building projects. And the planning side is a little bit more broad that we do. Our primary responsibilities and what takes up the majority of our time is reviewing applications reviewing and issuing applications, as well as our more long-range planning, which is development and update of plans, such as the comprehensive plan, sub-area plans that I think we'll probably talk about a little bit more later in this interview. We're involved in a lot of issues in the community. Some of the big ones that is on everyone's mind and has been before I got here and has continued is housing and jobs. And so there's certainly a connection with what my department does with those issues in the community. And so we work with citizens, applicants, clients, as well as other organizations within the city on a variety of issues.
Okay, but also you handle the little stuff too. If someone's remodeling their house, you'd have to be involved with that as well as something for you know, a big subdivision or whatever.
It goes as small as doing window replacements in your home, which is not something that everyone agrees should even require a permit, but it does. And we do those, as well as you mentioned, subdivisions that may have 20 or 30 homes being built in them.
Okay. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. The show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work here. Today, my guest, Lance Bailey, the Development Services Director for the City of Port Townsend. Lance was just telling us what his department does. It does have really sprawling responsibilities, including permitting all new projects as well as remodels. We all know that the past few years, there's been a real flurry of building, but mainly single family homes. So Lance, I've lived in several different cities over the years. It always strikes me that Port Townsend has very few apartments or other multifamily buildings. What's the situation here?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody is unaware that we have a shortage of housing, and particularly in what I would refer to as workforce housing, which is really housing that's at a intended as an economic level for people who are working in the community. We haven't had new multifamily housing built in the community in a while. We have seen some interest over the last year, year and a half, for some projects, and specifically one that is currently in progress is out in the new Rainier Street area, where we went through a process for developing and implementing a sub-area plan, and the city had put in some new infrastructure, water, sewer lines, and a street extension. There is a project that's currently under review to do a 36-unit apartment building out in that area.
Great.
And it has been a little bit on hold for a variety of reasons, as many projects have been over the last year, but it's moving forward. The intention of the developer is to have that project started by early spring of 2021.
Do you think that's a realistic target? Do you think they'll be able to do it?
I think that it's possible. There's always a variety of things, unknowns, that you run into in these processes, but I think it's a viable time frame.
Are there any other multifamily projects in the development stage?
One of the exciting ones, and I hope that it can come to fruition, is OLECAP has looked into doing a low-income affordable housing project there right next to the county office buildings at the QFC complex. I think that's probably what people would recognize. And they have secured an agreement with the county to use land to build that project there. I know that they've gone through a voluntary community process to reach out to get some feedback on designs. They did that about a year ago. They were in the process of applying for grant money to put together a financial package to make that project feasible. Unfortunately, they were unsuccessful last year with some of their grant applications, but they are in the process this year to get some grant money. And I have been in contact with the project manager there who seems optimistic that they will be successful this year. So if that is the case, it's a possibility that they would be able to get that project underway sometime in 2021. It's about 40 units, small apartments. It also includes a daycare facility, which is also another thing that's really in demand and in low supply in the city. I think it would be a great project to meet a lot of needs in the community. And so I am doing everything that I possibly can to help move that project along. But we may have some more information by the end of the year, whether they were successful in the grant process or not.
Well, both of those sound really good. Now, I wanted to ask you about what people usually refer to as the Cherry Street project. What's the status there? As far as I know, that building's still sitting there on blocks.
Well, it's not on block. It's on an engineered design foundation. That's been the biggest progress that's been made. Unfortunately, the Community Land Trust, Homeward Bound, who was working on this project initially, was unable for a variety of reasons to be able to bring that to full fruition. So the city has been in discussion with another housing provider, Bayside Housing, who operates the alcohol plant property out in Hadlock. And the city is currently in negotiation with them to take over that project. Then they would complete the 8 units in the existing building and potentially do some additional development on that site, which is yet to be determined. So it's moving forward in a positive direction in terms of the transfer of that from the city to Bayside.
Okay, well, for those listeners who don't really catch on as to what the Cherry Street project is, this is a small apartment building that was transported over here from Victoria several years ago. I actually forget how many years. It seems like a long time.
It was 2017.
Okay, well, I hope indeed we get some action there. So one of the biggest issues here right now is housing accessibility. Prices have gone really up and away. Many people who work here can't afford to live here anymore. Can you first address a little bit about why the prices have shot up the way they have?
I think at the core, it's harking back to my economics background, it is a supply and demand issue. Demand is higher than supply. I think that demand is driven by a number of things. For a number of years, the Port Townsend has really viewed by many as a great place to own a second home or to retire. That demographic oftentimes comes to the community with higher wealth than maybe the local economy generates for people who live and work here. What we're seeing now is there's an increase in the amount of people due to COVID that are working at home. Both public and private employers are encouraging or even requiring that their employees work at home. And we've always had a segment of the population here in Port Townsend who have worked in that environment, maybe worked in high tech and live here and have worked online. But we're seeing an increase in that because there's so many people out there that are transitioning to working from home.
You mentioned to me the other day that in addition to the people who are retiring here, there's what you called, which I thought was a good term, climate refugees. Can you explain that?
And that's a process that we were seeing in relation to people moving from parts of the country that are seeing increased average temperatures, issues with water. Over the last 2 years, the fires in California, I personally know people who have moved and have met people here who have moved from California specifically for that reason. If you live in a very dry, fire-prone part of the country, the moss-dripping Olympic Peninsula looks pretty enticing. That dynamic was occurring even before COVID. And then you add another layer of folks who, partly because of COVID, if not entirely because of COVID, are wanting to get out of urban areas and to move to a small community. And we really fit that bill. There's a lot of factors that are making the housing issue even more difficult.
Okay, well, what about on a more specific level? Your department issues permits. Now, there was a period where roughly 3 months where things were at a standstill in construction, but things are going ahead. I can see it when I'm driving around town. People are working on houses. Where does it stand permits-wise this year versus last year?
To give you the numbers, and I just ran these this morning so that they are as fresh
as
can be. Up to today, in 2019, we had 1,044 permits that had been submitted. This year, 2020, up to today, we have 676. When you break those numbers down, as you mentioned, we had about a three-month period where things really died down. If you take those 3 months out of the equation, the number of permits that we've done in the months outside of those three have been mostly equal with last year. So we're down 35% from last year, but during the times other than those 3 months, we've really seen permit volumes equal to last year in those months. We've certainly seen a lot since July, August through today.
Okay, well, obviously, if building dips, the revenue to the city goes down. But what you're saying is that if you factor out the 3 months, we're roughly equivalent to last year.
Yeah, but certainly from a revenue standpoint, the city has taken a substantial hit. We just went through our budget process and it was painful, to be honest. We had to lay off a number of positions. It's been difficult to make our projections of revenue for 2021. The revenue projections and the reality from this year have been really a mixed bag. We've seen a substantial drop in lodging tax, as you can imagine. Our permit revenues are down. Interestingly enough, sales tax revenues have been up overall, and that's driven by online sales. So the local businesses, who obviously are not doing as much business as they have in the past, are the revenue from those local taxes are down. But in the state of Washington, we do receive tax revenue from online sales, and those have gone up. So it's a real mixed bag. I would encourage folks who are interested in looking at some of the details is the budget materials that our finance department put together, which are available on the city's website. You know, there's some good graphics in there that tell that story.
That's an excellent idea. Listen, we're moving along here, and there are a few things we haven't gotten to yet. I know that we have a new city manager this year, and he is, I imagine, your boss. What so far, do you see any changes in direction under the new city manager?
John Morrow came in as the new city manager last November, so he's been here for a year. A vast majority of that time has been during COVID, which has been kind of a difficult transition period in itself. John brings a new energy to the city, and obviously he comes in and he's wanting for the community to get to know him and for him to get to know the community. And that has been, it's been a real breath of fresh air. We're really working on a lot of communication pieces with the city. You know, how do we tell our story? Because a lot of people don't really know what we do, just making sure that we're keeping people informed.
KPTZ has been part of that process. He's regularly on the station, and also we also broadcast council meetings as well. Do you think that's helpful?
I think it is. Every Thursday, the Brewocracy, I actually have been on that show as a guest with John as well. And it's a good forum. And I think that it's a good opportunity for folks in the community to get to know the new city manager, for him to get to know the community. It's been a really positive process over the course of the last year. There's struggles or obstacles, not being able to meet face to face. All of our meetings are done online, such as city council and planning commission. And
even your process of permits and applications, a lot of that now happens online versus in person. People used to come in to explain their plans to you, but I guess that doesn't happen all that much anymore.
The public is not allowed in City Hall. We're doing things such as we moved one of the library book drop boxes to the front of City Hall, and people submit drawings and plans in that way. We also have people that are emailing things, and we're working in the long term to adopt some new technologies that would allow us to more easily accept electronic documents for review and even issuing permits.
Well, so does the city have an official 5-year plan or 10-year plan?
Related to my department, we have a comprehensive plan that covers a time horizon of 20 years, and that looks at a variety of areas around the city. The city council itself, over the last, at least the time that I've been here, the last 6 years, puts together a strategic plan every year. And those strategic plans are a little bit more immediate. It's not a 20-year horizon, but it's factoring in all of those issues from that 20-year horizon.
Do you see more growth for Port Townsend? Is it the kind of situation where, you know, population is going to double in the next decade? Or in fact, is it going to be more stable?
Our population growth has been fairly small. I don't see the population doubling in the next 10 years like some places. You do see a lot of building, but it's mostly single family residences. And a lot of the building that you see are remodel projects. The number of new units that are being added to the housing inventory is probably lower than what people may think. So I think our population growth rates will be fairly slow over the next 10 years, but it's yet to be seen.
But don't we also have sort of a problem with certain things? Like, I'm mainly thinking about the infrastructure in terms of internet capacity. Is there any plan to improve that?
The broadband issue has been one that's been in discussion in the community for a number of years. I do know that the PUD is looking into that issue. It's not a service that the city provides, but the city is encouraging that project to move forward. It's something that we'll see some progress on here in the following year.
Okay, well, we're winding towards the end of our interview here. Are there any major topics that you think we didn't touch on at all that you wanted to say a few words about?
There's always a lot of detail that we can go into in terms of specific needs and desires in the community. Housing is always one, and how do we address it? The message that I would put out is that it's a collaborative effort by the entire community, that we're involved in permitting and planning and infrastructure, but the city is not a housing provider per se. The city doesn't build housing. The city doesn't own housing. The solution is going to be a community solution that's going to involve a lot of different groups that are both private and public. And the more we can have that conversation as a group and come up with solutions that are appropriate for the community and that there's buy-in with the community, the faster that we can address those. And I know that there's a lot of different efforts out there. I've seen a lot of things over the last year, 2 years that have sprouted up that didn't exist when I first got here 6 years ago. So I think that that's a positive trend.
Okay. Well, believe it or not, we're basically out of time. The producer is getting agitated. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been Lance Bailey, the Development Services Director for the City of Port Townsend. In addition to thanking Lance for being a guest on the show, I want to thank my partner, John McPherson, the editor and producer of Our Town. Normally, he sits in a glass booth with microphones, computers, and lots of other stuff, but that's not what's happening today. He's not even inside our locked fortress of a studio. He's hidden very far away. He will still manage to make Lance and me sound so much better and smoother than we actually are. And we appreciate it. Like all of us at KPTZ, John gets zero pay for all of his work creating the show. But now he gets combat pay for editing in the time of Corona. That's $0 plus 0 cents. Seriously, in an abundance of caution, we're still not able to use our usual equipment. So if the sound sounds a little tinny or whatever, bear with us. At some point, we'll get back in the studio. We're all trying to get through it together. I want to thank you, the listener. KPTZ 91.9 FM is a community radio station. Everyone who works here is a volunteer. We give our time because we all believe that Jefferson County needs a free local voice. We need you, dear listener. We need more volunteers. We also need more donation to stay afloat. Like all businesses, we have rent to pay, electricity to pay, and many other ongoing expenses. Regular listeners know that we are remodeling a building at Fort Worden, and we got a lot of permits from Lance's department to do that. Anyhow, we're hoping to move in early 2021. We're looking forward to having actual soundproof recording space. Just like you, all of us at KPDC would really like to return to some form of normal. So listener, stay safe, stay healthy. I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.